I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, 710 and change, News Radio 830 WCCO. Tomorrow I'll fill in for Chad Hartman amongst my guests. Derek Falvey, General Manager of Minnesota Twins, will talk more about Miguel Sano and why he's not with his team. And I assume that Joe Mauer will probably be coming with to Cleveland. I assume that he's been cleared to play, and they'll go at it from there. Manny Lagos is our scheduled next guest. We're waiting to hear from him to talk about soccer. And I don't know how you people see this thing, but I certainly have room if you guys want to call in. I'd be interested in your opinion because many of you know more about soccer than I do. But what will this 2026 World Cup do to lift the sport in the United States and in Minnesota? And is there a chance, do you think, that soccer becomes a rival to, akin to the National Hockey League, the Minnesota Wild or the NBA? Is there a chance that if they keep hammering on this and hammering on this and hammering on this, and you throw a new stadium in and football participation goes down some, and then you throw in the World Cup coming here in 2026, which I really don't get my arms around completely. I mean, I understand it to an extent, but I don't understand it. And I know that it's a big deal here in the U.S., and this could be a satellite city where a team comes and trains and prepares for, and then they can go somewhere else and play. So my question for you is soccer finally on the cusp? We've talked about this for years, of becoming a sport that is going to be mentioned the same way that we talk about the Twins, the Vikings, the Wild and the Timberwolves. Are they that close to becoming that kind of a sport where the popularity is such? 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226, as we await Manny Lagos' appearance on this show. The thing that you need to build a fan base is really twofold. One is participation. And they've long had high participation numbers in soccer in this state. So at the grassroots level, at the ground level, they got kids playing. But they've had kids playing for many, many, many years. It's almost not the point because it doesn't seem that a huge percentage of that delegation get converted into being fans. The other juncture, the other group that you try to hone in on are the people that will look at your stadium or look at it and the buzz that goes with it and say, boy, that looks cool and that looks chic and that looks like a place that I want to be. Those are the two factors. Those are the two demographics that you have to market to. You've got to get the people that participated because they're the ones that are going to come and they're going to spend the money and they're going to explain to their family and their people around them what the hell's going on out there in the field that the rest of us don't understand. You need somebody with an intellect, and the only way that you can develop an intellect in sports is to play sports. Forget what you hear from anybody else in the media about, well, I've watched a lot of games. Big deal. The only way you can develop great intellect in a sport is to play the sport, to play it at least through high school. Then you will have a good working knowledge of how the sport works so that when you go to a game, you can appreciate what it is they're doing out there. That's the only way. And soccer has got high participation, so they have people like that. But can they convert that into an audience that sustains itself and that grows, by leaps and bounds eventually? And is akin to major leagues as we know it in this town. 651-989-9226, 612-989-9226. By the time it gets here in 2026, will the Minnesota United be just that? Will they already be at that juncture? Have we seen this thing turn? Has it gone over the final hurdle? And now you're going to see soccer emerge that way? 612-989-9226, 651-989-9226. 989-9226. Joining us from the Minnesota United, Manny Lagos. Manny, thank you for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be on.
Tell me, give me perspective to the World Cup because I see it from afar, but I don't really understand it. What does this mean when it gets here in 2026?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, on so many levels. Yesterday was a great, exciting, you know, bolt of energy for the soccer world in the U.S. Listen, we're not playing. Today, you know, the world's biggest sporting event started, and the U.S. is not part of it. And it's tough to take, and it's tough to deal with. But at the same time, yesterday allows us now to think about in 8 years, where do we want the U.S. national team to be in the landscape of soccer and competing? And I think with us hosting the World Cup, it gives us new energy, new vision to really continue to try to improve and become a world soccer power.
So the fact that 2026 is coming does what to increase the – does it do a lot to increase the interest level at the grassroots, the fan base, the every – what does it do you think, to the culture of soccer?
So I think like the first thing, soccer is already here now. I mean, more stadiums are being built for soccer. We have huge fan bases for MLS. We have brand new stadiums going up all over the country. And, you know, excited to say in this market, we'll have the very best stadium in the country as of next year for soccer. But I don't think that we need that anymore. I mean, more people watch the World Cup in this country than ever have before. More people travel even to Russia this year to go and be part of the World Cup because it's such a great sporting event. I think almost more than any other country in the world still, even without the U.S. in it. So I think the relevancy is there. And again, I think the soccer's kind of taken its great place and then this great sporting market we have in the U.S. But what I think it does now is I think it dives deeper into, since we are now very relevant, we're becoming one of the best leagues in the world, what do we need to do to really develop, to your point, you said at the grassroots level, we have to start asking ourselves some hard questions about what it's going to take, how we're going to go about, you know, building players for the future. Frankly, players like Messi and Ronaldo that we know come from other countries but haven't yet come from this country.
So do you like the way this tracks right now locally?
I like it. You know, I mean, I'm obviously a little bit disappointed that we couldn't get the U.S. Bank Stadium bid in and make that work. So we're not a host city. But there's no doubt that this is going to resonate across the country, resonate with us, and resonate with Minnesota United because obviously us being the biggest thing in town, we love to see our brand be associated with the World Cup and the World Game.
So, you know, they talk about having a team train here. Even if this isn't going to be the Mecca or where they hold the games, what would that mean? What would that entail?
Well, it would be really exciting. We'd obviously have to, you know, create an atmosphere and environment for one of these countries to come here and really, like, pull up here for about 3 weeks prior to the tournament. I think we're a prime candidate because of the weather in, you know, late May, early June. You know, we have a great environment, great community. So I think we'll really be in the running to kind of host a country pre-World Cup, which would be great. It would be great for the investment of the infrastructure of soccer in this community. But ultimately, in the end, too, the World Cup brings so much on so many different levels, whether it's the business side, the marketing side, the fan level. And then again, in my world, from a sporting perspective, I cannot be more excited because these questions that we're talking about nationally about development, they now specifically come to our market, our great youth soccer's participation market in Minnesota, which is truly amazing. We get to now work with our leaders here, work with the communities, work with the coaches who really put time and energy into it to say, hey, how can we make Minnesota a better development soccer community? And I love that question. I really do. There's no easy answer, by the way, but I love that we have to address it because it only will help and resonate not only for the national team, but it'll help resonate for our local MLS team.
You know what's screwing soccer overall more than people talk about or want to converse about because it makes them uncomfortable? Is Title IX and the fact that there are not soccer programs at every men's soccer programs at every university in this country or everyone that wants one because it's not an expensive sport relative to other sports, but because of the equality or inequality that is perceived out there, most universities can't add men's soccer. And it makes no sense, Manny, because we're training kids to play soccer at the high school level. We're providing the feeder system, and yet there's a rowing team on the women's side of things. There's no rowing teams in high schools in Minnesota, but there's a rowing team at the University of Minnesota. There's no men's soccer team at the University of Minnesota, but there's soccer played at every high school, just about every high school that wants to in the state of Minnesota. That's another step that, you know, at some point in time, somebody's going to have that conversation.
It is. I mean, it's the pathway is not quite there when you have the youth soccer system or the high school system and then you don't have an in between that and getting to become a professional soccer player. So I will tell you, there'll be a couple of ways to solve that. One is we're working really hard at the NCAA to kind of change how we get kids into the program. And frankly, part of the global game is that you have an evaluation of your of who you are and what your talent level is, and you, there's a price for that. And so I would say we as a club, we're going to have to address that. We might have to have a reserve team where the kids play for a reserve team and then go to college. That might be a way to do it. But, again, these are part of those tough questions now to say, hey, what's going on and why are we not quite developing players as some of the other countries are? And, again, I really think with the shift and, again, the announcement yesterday, I think we'll hopefully bring the right people to the table to start to discuss specifically the things that you just talked about and the ways where we can get more high-level American kids in the pro game.
Sure, because some, you know, the U.S. not making the World Cup, well, it seems to be a huge disappointment. With that in the World Cup, in some respects, that could be the perfect storm, because the next question people are going to ask is, why didn't the U.S. make the World Cup? And then that's going to allow for a whole dialogue here as to what it takes to consistently make the World Cup. And that's where, like I just mentioned, will fit in, because that conversation has to be had here at some point in time.
It definitely does. And that's why I love what's going on with Minnesota United, with the stadium. I mean, again, inspiring kids, when you drive down 94 and you see this beautiful stadium, and when those games start there, these kids who really fall in love with soccer, it's going to be because they go see a game. And then from that, they're going to want to play in that stadium. And then those kids are going to find out that they're going to be even better than our stadium and go on to Europe and the national team. So to me, we're all going to play our part over the next 8 years. But again, I think the announcement yesterday puts a little bit of light. It's still tough to watch the game today and realize that you don't get to cheer for your own country the way some of these other teams and the fans and people are getting to cheer for their country.
Manny, you're breaking up on us a little bit, but we get the gist. Thank you so much for giving us some time and some clarification on tonight.
Thanks so much, Mike. Really appreciate it. And looking forward to the World Cup. It's gonna be a great tournament. I've got France as my winner, but my heart's with Spain.
Yeah, of course it's with Spain. It better be.
It is.
Thank you, my friend. Manny Lagos, nice enough to join us, talk World Cup and much more. Take a break, come back. Sports to the Max at WCCO. Welcome back, Sports to the Max. We got an announcement coming up at 7:35 here. It might surprise some of you. And it's going to be worth hanging around. In studio announcement coming up at 7:35. We don't do that often on this show. Plus, how the St. Paul Saints have managed to cash in on the raccoon. That's coming up at 8 o'clock. We got female football players coming in to play tackle football. I mean, this place is going to be crazy by the time I leave here. This is going to be a circus. We mentioned Miguel Sano got sent down. Maybe this was a precursor. Sid Hartman had a chance to talk to Miguel Sano just last week. And if you listen closely and read between the lines, it is just a succinct, wonderful piece of journalism provided by Sid Hartman when he goes one-on-one with Miguel Sano and somebody else.
How tough has all these injuries been for you?
Explícale que está un poco duro porque vine en una lesión del año pasado y este año me lesioné el hamstring, pero gracias a Dios me siento mucho mejor y esperamos en Dios ya quedarnos con el equipo.
No, it's been tough because I'm coming with that injury in my feet and my foot from last year, in my knee. But and then this year I hurt my hamstring, but thank God everything's coming along and I'm getting better.
All the rehabbing must drive you nuts.
¿Todas las rehabilitaciones te están volviendo loco o lo estás cogiendo normal?
No, normal, normal. Siempre trato, ¿sabes? De trabajar fuerte y que nada me afecte ni nada de eso.
No, I'm just focusing on working hard every day and just none of that stuff affect me.
Are you 100% now? Can you run and everything you want to do?
Yeah, I can do that everything.
You didn't play today. Why didn't you play today? Give you a day off?
Day off, yeah, because I come from the injury. And, you know, I've been playing for seven, eight days. And he gave me the rest today.
Are you trying to cut down your strikeouts?
¿Estás tratando de pocharte menos?
Sí, trabajando, ¿sabes? Haciendo más contacto en el juego y, ¿sabes? Que sea lo que Dios quiera, tratando de poner la bola en juego.
Yeah, I'm just trying to put the ball in play every day, make good contact with it. Just consistent.
How are the pitchers pitching to you?
¿Cómo tú ves que los lanzadores te están pichando a ti?
Mucho rompiendo y para afuera.
Couple more questions.
Lots of breaking ball.
You like playing first base or you rather play on third base?
I like ball. Well, yeah. I like playing ball position.
You can play first base as well as third base?
¿Tú crees que puedes jugar a las dos igual?
So, yeah, I can do, yeah.
people write stories about you being overweight. Is that a bunch of dick?
La gente habla mucho que tú estás sobrepeso. ¿Eso te molesta, te importa? O...
No, I don't care about that. I play my game, so that's my job, what I do here. And I don't care about what other people say about my weight. So, Rico, I can handle.
There you go. Another classic interview provided to us by Sid Hartman with Miguel Sanó, perhaps a priest to come. The third voice you heard in there was an interpreter. It was funny how Sanó could answer some questions he got just fine in English, and then some of the ones he might consider to be tougher, he had to defer to the interpreter. And I apologize, we did not have an interpreter available that day for Sid. We like to send one with from the radio station, but on that day, on that shift, we did not have it filled, so we were only able to use Sano's interpreter, not Sid Hartman's. When we come back, an announcement. Stay with us on WCCO. Lucas, tell me who you got with you here.
All right. This is my Minnesota prep team. This is Donnell Bratton. He's the integral part of being able to make this transition and this whole thing possible. We got Troy Vaughn. He's the public relations guy and the guy that's going to be the glue guy for the community. And then we got Sam over there taking some great photos.
Mr. Vaughn, if that name is familiar, get that mic up to him. Your son is Rashad.
That is correct. How's it
going? Number one draft pick of the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, how's he doing?
In the building. Man, everything is good. We're in the process of rebuilding as well, looking for, a new team.
Yeah, they didn't give him the option year.
No, he didn't. But, a lot of this stuff is from day one. Me and you talked years ago. Is this hard work and getting it and being built? And so at the point right now, he's in that process of trying to, mature, get the character piece down. And I look for the future to be great. No worries. He's a talented kid. Everybody knows the work he's done. And just getting back to the basics, what works.
Where's he at now? In Milwaukee or here? Or is he?
He's here. He's here right now.
Working out?
For this weekend. It's Father's Day weekend. Happy Father's Day.
Nice of him, yeah.
Well. Definitely. So he's here, and so then he's back on it. And I know we got to, August or so to kind of, find a team. We got a couple of teams that's been looking at us, and hopefully, it'll be a good fit, and then he can go ahead and establish his career with those individual teams that, they've been looking at us.
Lucas, tell us why we're here tonight.
Well, we're here tonight.
There's a new team coming to town, so to speak, kind of.
No, you're not kind of, yes.
But, it's bigger than just a team. It's a school. So.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm just blessed to be a part of it. we met some gentlemen down in Tennessee, and then we put a whole year's work together, coming down to this last couple weeks where it started to get really real. And we're going to start a prep school in Minnesota, and I'm just fortunate.
First one, right?
First one of its kind.
I mean, of its kind, yeah.
Yes.
They would have a basketball emphasis.
Right, where the basketball emphasis is of a national pedigree.
So does this look like what? Faribault Shattuck? Does it look like what?
I would say so. Yeah, I would say so. I think that's a great comparison. Obviously, they got years on us, but at the end of the day, that's where we want to be.
Donnell, who's going to attend this school?
Oh, we got people from all over. This is a national.
What age range? Are they going to be high school kids or are they going to be the year out of high school?
Both. So we have high school, and then we have a post-grad, which is fifth-year prep. And the NCAA allows a student that graduates from high school to take 1 year off to get bigger, stronger, faster, maybe get the
It's just 1 year, though, huh?
Just 1 year.
Then you have to enroll?
And you have to enroll. So we have two teams, post-grad, which is the fifth-year prep, and a high school prep, which plays against all the top national high school teams across the country.
Where's it going to be located?
It's going to be located inside North Hennepin Community College, which is out in Brooklyn Park in Minnesota.
And what will the roster be constructed of? Who can we anticipate being on this roster?
We can't really release that information now, but next week, actually, we're going to be making it's going to be a media day. And you all going to be shocked in the state of Minnesota who's going to be a part of this team.
Oh, Mr. Vaughn, your son went to Vegas and played in a prep school.
Exactly.
And what was that like for him?
I actually contacted these guys once I did my due diligence and, find out what they was doing. And people start calling me about the prep school in Minneapolis and Minnesota. then I'm looking like 10 years ago, I wouldn't have to travel. I would visit like 15 to 20 prep schools all over the country, and just to fulfill your kid's dream or to see the hard work from AAU and the practices that you put in as a parent, and then to ship them off before college to get, you know, they always say knives sharpen knives. And so to ship them off to Las Vegas, which I'd never been in my life, until he ended up going there, and then having something like this. And the reason why we went there, it was particularly that was our best situation for us. But for Minnesota, this is definitely a good day to have that here. And you get a national schedule, you getting the best coaches, you getting the best philosophy of a program who already has established something. I mean, this is something that we've been yearning for, I'm sure. Didn't know. If I had it 10 years ago, I wouldn't have went to Vegas, where you got to give Tylenol over the phone and you got to mentor your kid when he's not here. And you lose time with that, which as a parent. So on the parent's perspective, I'm here. And then they have chores. Yeah, they have chores at these prep schools. And so that really sold me over from day one. I know as parents, we spoil them and there's so much in demand. So,
But Lucas, what you're talking about is mainly kids that will live in town. You're not going to have dorms for the kids necessarily, right? Or we have a few?
Yes, we do.
Because they could come from other states, obviously, for its prep school.
Right. And because of what we're announcing today and the league that we're playing in, we're susceptible to kids all across the country. So, I mean, it really all across the world at this point.
Do you think it'll be mainly Minnesota kids?
We want it to be. We want to recruit Minnesota kids, but we don't know how receptive Minnesota will be to it. But we're gonna give it a shot.
Is that problematic with high school coaches?
It might be. It might be to a certain extent, but I don't think it's gonna hurt the high school game. I think the kids that are elevated a little higher than, you know, than what the standard high school player is, I think they need that other opportunity to move on to test the waters.
I think the biggest thing at the end of the day, I'm excited, like as a parent's perspective. And then I'm just been in the whole circuit of it. And we've been blessed to have my kid in the NBA as well. So, everything speaks as far as facts. But we just have to just come together, have cohesiveness from the high school. And everybody has to believe in everybody and trust. And at the end of the day, it's about the best for this kid. Right. One thing about that drew me into this program with the Minnesota Prep Academy is that they're doing way more than basketball. They're making sure these kids have certificates in different areas, from oil change and nursing and training and, you know, back to the old school ways.
So will there be like two teams, one for what would be seniors in high school and then one for kids just out of high school? And will they play in two different leagues or what? How does this work then now?
So basically what it boils down to, if a kid compete on the high school level at a high level, I don't care if you're in the ninth or 10th grade, you're going to be able to participate. You're going to be a part of a program that not only gives you the education component, by the time you graduate from high school, if you came in as a sophomore, you're graduating with an associate's degree in college. That's how big this piece is, the education piece, which will have one team, high school, 9th through 12, if you can play on that level.
Okay, so that's any high school. You don't have to be a senior in high school.
You don't have to be a senior if you can compete. Okay. And then if you have if you graduated and you just didn't quite meet, you know, need to get bigger and stronger, we have a second team, which is the fifth grade.
Well, and they've been doing this in hockey for years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That part of it.
Absolutely.
I mean, you get a 21-year-old freshman, and you go, and how many of us have said, boy, wouldn't that be nice, right? Yeah. If I go bulk up for a couple years and not, you know, just play that sport. That's basically what that part of it is. But they will coexist? Are they in two different leagues then?
The same league, and we kind of have a major announcement tonight if we have the opportunity to kind of talk about the league.
Yeah, can you call that guy, that number they gave you?
Yeah, he's calling.
Yeah, you're supposed to be calling in.
Yeah.
So you texted him?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So he'll call us. Okay, yep, I got you.
So basically, and we'll talk about that league, but it's a big deal because you hear about some of these schools that some of the NBA players are coming out of. As a matter of fact, one of them is going to be projected to go number one draft if it's the same thing. But we'll talk about that once we make the announcement because it's really big for Minnesota. Really, really big.
You mean you talk about which part of it?
This whole particular program platform that we're going to be playing.
So the kid that comes in that is going to prep school that would be equivalent to a first year college student, will he take classes at North Hennepin then?
Yes, absolutely.
So he'll just be getting ahead of the game a little bit.
He'll be getting ahead of the game, and he will, just as long as he can take less than 11 credits.
Oh, that's the key. That's the number.
That's the key. That's the number.
Then you're not a full time student.
He can't be a full time student, and he's required by NCAA to have at least 60 hours of ACT prep. So we help get his ACT score up. We help with, you know, helping with some of those generals. so that they can become a qualifier when he goes straight into his first year in college.
How hard is it to get this thing, to get accredited and to get a school up?
Oh, it's very hard. It's very hard. And this is the reason why we connected with our sister school, Tennessee Prep, who has been doing it for years, who helped us establish this. So we're now a sister school to this school that already has done this.
How does it work for them? Are they at a community college as well, or where are they?
Yeah, they're in a HBCU, mm-hmm. Lamont Owens College in Memphis, Tennessee. They're right on the campus. Same model. We just presented the same model to them, and it just made sense.
So do you share gym space with the college then?
Yes, we do, but they don't have a team. So
North Hennepin doesn't, do they?
No, they do not have.
But they got a gym, don't they?
They have a gym.
It would have made them attractive.
Absolutely. You're getting it.
Yeah, I mean, it takes me a while, but you know.
Right. You warming up, right?
Yeah, you could have gone MCTC. There's so many, unfortunately, now that have been dissolved around here, you know.
Right.
MCTC's got that beautiful gymnasium they don't use, and on, right?
Right. And it's an opportunity, again, to build a community. Brooklyn Park is thriving, and just to have this here is going to bring a lot of people to the community when they see four or five-star athletes that are going to be playing on this particular session, and the different athletes that are going to be coming across the country and even the world. This is bigger than just the United States. It's international basketball also, too.
What did Rashad gain from playing? What was the competition like? What were his teammates like? Can you give us a?
You know, as a parent, you know, you pay these AAU fees. You go to practice from night in, night out. You travel. You do all that, and then your kid actually start getting good at it. Then he has a passion at it. And he
passion being
be
the key word, right?
Passion is everything, you know. And when that happened, then you start meeting the Kyler Perrys or the Tubby Smiths of the world. And you ask them that question, you know, what's the next level for where I'm at? And they told me, look at him. Now, I'm at, you know, Cooper Robbinsdale, and he's relaxing, earrings in, shoes not tied up, hugging the coach. And he's like, how is he going to get better after today? With that mentality, and I was like, you're right. And so I'm old school, me and you both. Knives sharpen knives. And you need to be around people that's on the same mentality that you pushing, and they also pushing you, and it's on the national schedule. If this is what you do, it's going to definitely be the tell of the tape of it. And once they told me he had chores, I was all in. Mm-hmm. I was just like all that. Mm-hmm. You know, as a parent, you know, you basketball, gym, practice, games, you traveling. You don't have a lot of that family time, and you get to make the most of it. And then when you go to a prep school, they are actually family. We got Kelly Ubrook, Dylan from Oregon. No, he's in the NBA. I mean, the whole school was definitely some prospects of what it takes, and not outside of basketball, the more thing about building character and life skills.
All right, let's bring in Harold Rayford from the Tennessee Prep School that you speak of, the sister school. He's on by phone now. Harold, thank you for joining us tonight.
Appreciate you having me.
Explain what's going to happen here in Minnesota that we don't understand yet.
Oh, man, it's high school basketball on steroids. And what I mean by that, you know, the platform that's been created by Tennessee Prep, my staff, well, as well as the grind session, we put together, you know, something that, you know, the state of Minnesota should be excited about.
Who are they going to play? What will this league look like that they're going to play in?
The league, it's an independent schedule, but we'll have a chance to play against some of the juggernaut prep schools throughout the country. I know I can speak on Tennessee Prep as it relates to this upcoming season. We are playing IMG. We're playing the likes of Huntington Prep. The list goes on. I mean, we're playing some of the top five prep schools in the country.
IMG?
Yes.
IMG. Does anybody beat IMG?
Oh, absolutely.
Really? So where will the talent come from that fortifies the Minnesota school, do you think?
Well, what we're doing right now, we want to target the state of Minnesota, the players there. That's priority for us, and that's what, you know, as I talked to Lucas and Donnell, we really want to, you know, hit a home run with the guys locally before we streamline some guys coming in.
Lucas, you're going to add something to that.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We're looking at a lot of the top 2019 prospects in 2020. So.
Now, I doubt that it's a reach to say there happens to be one named Patterson, who might just be a son of yours.
Yeah, he might be in question.
My guess is there's a candidate there, huh?
Yeah. We'll check
Brooklyn
him out.
Brooklyn center point guard?
Yeah, we'll take a look at him.
Okay.
Does Ray hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Coach Ray, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, Coach Ray, you there?
Put the headphones on.
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Coach, you there?
Yep, go ahead.
Okay, I just want to give a big shout-out. I know I've been seeing what you guys have been facilitating for the last year or so, and it's coming to fruition of everything, and the hard work pays off. And we just want to follow the motto that works, and it's a good day in Minnesota. As a NBA dad and, you know, been through the process of prep schools and, you know, getting the kids to the next level and getting away from their families, and you guys bringing that here. And appreciate you guys, man, and I look forward to working and whatever I can need to do to help out, and you know I'm here, man. So salute, man. It's a good day in Minnesota.
Absolutely.
Harold, who will coach this team? Do you guys decide or who decides?
Say that one more time.
Who will coach this team and who will run this team? Do you decide or does the team decide?
I'm actually going to be coming up to Minnesota to interview some prospects that have, you know, reached out to me, reached out to Donnell and Lucas. So right now we're in the process of, you know, bringing on a coach that can handle, you know, this level.
And when what you've seen in the past, what happens? I mean, when you set up a school and there's high schools all around it, and of course high schools don't want to lose their top talented players, how do they coexist?
It's kind of tough. It is absolutely going to be tough, you know, especially for the local schools, because we're doing something different that they can't, you know, certain schools can't do in the state of Minnesota. You know, I know it's a 300 mile rule with the state. You know, with us, we travel the country. You know, that's a big part of what we do, because, you know, for what we did at Tennessee Prep in the last 3 years, we put 63 young men and women in college on full athletic scholarships.
Is this going to be a girls and boys program or just boys?
Boys the first year, and we're looking at bringing on girls eventually.
I see, but you start it with the boys and you go from there.
Yes.
And so they will travel a lot, and who picks up the freight on that? How do you raise money and keep the costs there?
Sponsorship. We're always looking for sponsorship, but we are a private boarding school. So, you know, the outside talent that is coming in that want to board, you know, we have a list of students that are right now just, you know, lining up to actually come into Minnesota.
Lucas, how do you decide on who makes the cut and who makes the team if you have more, more kids than you have spots? Can you create more teams, or is it going to be one team or what?
Down the line, but we don't want to overload ourselves in the beginning. We're looking to recruit families as well as athletes, so student athletes. So that's always a plus for us.
Donnell, go ahead.
Hear me?
Go ahead, Harold.
So that everybody knows, you know, Minnesota Prep is going to have our academy is going to split in two. So we have our postgraduate program, which, you know, is 1 year removed from high school. And athletes that don't have the SAT score may have been under-recruited. And, you know, not every, you know, high school senior that graduates ready for college. So our post-grad program, you know, caters to that population that didn't get a chance to be recruited. But also we have the traditional 9-12, which puts us in, you know, a whole nother bracket in reference to, you know, joining the grind session. Because the schedule is going to be major, but, you know, when we play in these other teams, we got to make sure that, you know, it's a difference and it's a fine line between putting a prep kid on a high school team and vice versa. We just got to make sure we do our due diligence on the educational piece, making sure that we fit the rules of the high school federation.
For sure. And, Lucas, what will the name of this be?
Our name of our prep school is Minnesota Preparatory Academy.
You've already got T-shirts, you son of a gun.
Got you one.
Got one for you.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. I left it in the green.
So it'll be Minnesota Preparatory Academy. It's in play. We make the announcement tonight. Thank you for giving us the scoop on the air.
Yeah.
And this would be an interesting thing to follow because we've never seen this before in Minnesota, exactly. Right? So yep. So if people are sitting there driving down there going, well, I don't quite get it, that's okay because it hasn't been here before, right?
Exactly. Once it soak in. And,
I mean, I get it because yeah. I know the basketball world, but if you don't, you might be going, well, how does that, you know, or I've got a kid that's a downhill skier. Well, it's not for downhill skiing. This is for boys basketball right now.
Right.
Well, the rest will evolve and like IMG has, and they've got all the sports.
Yep.
But for now, this is about a boys basketball team that will travel nationally and have a lot of Division I prospects, right?
Absolutely.
Of course, right.
Absolutely. And what better year to do it when the Final Four is coming?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's smart.
Yeah. I was down at the Final Four and I saw all these other, you know, they had an international competition. These kids from Africa and China were there. And I mean, I don't know how many 7-footers I saw.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Now, they played the U.S. team and the U.S. team killed them. But I assume that there's a lot of kids like that out there. The NBA is setting up their own academies throughout, but they would again be candidates for this, right?
Absolutely. Exactly.
You know, the 7-footer that's living in Australia says, I can get better if I go to the U.S., could end up at your prep school.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have a major announcement coming up next week, so y'all have to be get ready to.
Another major announcement?
Announcement about who's coming to the school.
Yeah.
Y'all going to be shocked.
You got to give me that one first, too.
Oh, yeah. You get it. It's all you. Okay. You put us on the spot. And just make sure everybody follow us on social media.
All right. Harold, thank you so much for giving us some time. We'll be in touch.
Coach, thank you, man.
Coach. Absolutely.
Appreciate you, man. Couldn't do it without you, man.
Bring in Coach Carter from that movie.
Absolutely.
I need to talk to him. Hang up.
Thank you, Harold. Take a break. Come back. Thanks, guys, for coming in. Appreciate
it. Thanks for having us, man. Appreciate it.
Go big announcement.
Yeah, big day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.